From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. In a moment, a controversial amendment on the ballot November 4th that could make or break traffic relief on Texas roads. But first, after struggling to figure out what guidelines to promote for healthcare workers treating Ebola, officials have settled on advice issued last night. It includes standards of rigorous training and observation. Also, the new measures ban skin exposure while wearing any personal protective equipment. Meanwhile, the White House has dispatched Adrian Sines, Deputy Director of Intergovernmental Affairs, to Dallas. ABC News reports the Texas native arrived over the weekend to coordinate efforts against the spread of Ebola with state and local officials. Sines will work alongside the state coordinator Governor Rick Perry named Friday and FEMA coordinator Kevin Hens, who was dispatched Saturday. You can see more on the new guidelines and governmental efforts at keranews.org. Fallout continues over the forced removal of a Dallas school board member from an on-campus meeting last week. The district will have open meetings to clarify what's allowed and what isn't. Bill Zeeble reports how the board came to that agreement during a lengthy closed-door session last night.
A week ago Monday, Dallas trustee Bernadette Nuttall was taken out of Dade Middle School as Superintendent Mike Miles was about to start an early morning meeting. He was replacing top leaders in the struggling campus. Miles believed Nuttall was interfering with his job and ordered school police to remove her as a trespasser. School video shows they lifted her off the ground at times. Nuttall, whose district includes that school, was humiliated then, and after last night's meeting, remains confused.
I've never been manhandled by police before. I've never been manhandled. My offense is getting a speeding ticket and taking defensive driving, so I've never been manhandled by policemen. The superintendent could have walked away and had the cops there to talk to me. You know, Ms. Nuttall, let's leave. I mean, but it is what it is. It happened.
Nuttall said she was at the school to welcome and encourage the new leadership, not to interfere with the superintendent's meeting.
They're still questioning, did I have the authority to be at the meeting? I did not attend the meeting. Let's clarify that. I did not attend the meeting.
Board President Miguel Solis couldn't share discussions of the three-hour closed meeting, but said too many questions about proper roles and duties remain unanswered. So he said there will be multiple open meetings to clarify what trustees and the superintendent can and cannot do. Solis said the board can't let this fester.
I think the law is a little ambiguous, and I think that what we're going to have to do as trustees is to make sure that our policies are less ambiguous, that there's no gray matter in this particular area.
Solis said Miles was told to leave last night's meeting to let the board consult with its own attorneys, those who don't also work for Miles and the administration. The outcome seems far from over. Nuttall said she has little faith anything will change or happen to Miles. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Now to the election coming up November 4th. There's a constitutional amendment known as Proposition 1 on the ballot. It would dedicate a portion of the state's rainy day savings account to transportation projects. Officials warn Proposition 1 will only provide part of the $5 billion needed each year just to keep traffic from getting worse. KERA's Shelley Koffler asked Texas Transportation Commissioner Victor Vandegrift of Arlington if the most controversial option for traffic relief is still on the table.
There may be nothing that gets drivers a little hotter than toll roads. Are they here to stay, and will they become the primary way we pay for new roads?
Well, I think they have become the primary way we pay for new roads at this point. Pretty much all new capacity here in the Metroplex, for example, has come either in the form of a toll road or something supported by managed lanes. And even if we get the $5 billion a year, I'm not predicting that we won't still continue to use toll roads and managed lanes. I see that continuing to happen. I do see us being more selective. I see them as a supplementary or complementary use for moving transportation needs forward versus a primary use.
There are a number of Texans who believe that if TxDOT just tightened its belt and became more efficient, we wouldn't need new toll roads. We wouldn't need all of these extraordinary methods for financing. Do you think TxDOT is efficient and spending our money well, or does the commission need to help them change some of their practices?
No agency is 100% efficient. So yes, there's room for improvement. What I am saying is that I think the people there are very good at what they do. Their chief problem is a lack of resources and funding. If you have a $90 billion problem over 10 years and you've got at most $10 billion to address it, you have to make choices. When you make choices, then you leave the $80 billion that isn't accomplished mad because they didn't get their issues or their problems solved. And that then challenges people wondering how you made your decisions.
Do you see anything else on the horizon that will significantly address this need for more capacity? Anything besides just building new roads?
The most prominent is one that gets a lot of attention in the media, and that is that the Texas Central Railway, a company, is proposing to build a high-speed rail connection between Houston and Dallas. If they're successful in doing that, and they hope to have financial close by the end of 2016, construction starting in 17 and being open in like 2021, 2022, it's all privately funded. And if that's successful and you have a train that can travel people from Houston to Dallas in 90 minutes, that is a potential huge game changer. I think then it will allow us opportunities to connect Dallas to Fort Worth and to all the other cities around here. And that will certainly impact the need or the desirability of additional road capacity if it works. I think also, as with all things, technology changes. Driverless cars, apparently it looks to be more and more likely as a reality at some point in time in the next few years. Different ways in which you use materials to construct roads or to maintain roads, I think that has a potential to radically reduce cost. Those were things that over time will, I think, be very helpful.
Commissioner Vandegrift, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Developers of the high-speed railway you heard the commissioner mention will hold the first of a series of community meetings today. This one is at the Dallas Infomart beginning at 4:30. We've posted a link to the full schedule at kerannews.org. On our way out, sizing up arts patrons in Dallas. In general, the city's arts audience is richer, whiter, and older than the nationwide audience. That isn't such a surprise anecdotally, but those are hard stats from the North Texas Cultural Co-op. That's the program of data gathering for the Arts Community Alliance. The results of the co-op's first year were released yesterday. 41 nonprofit groups in Dallas participated. The local arts audience has more baby boomers than elsewhere, but far fewer from Generation Y, people in their 20s and 30s. The racial makeup of the audiences for these Dallas groups is 81% white. In comparison, the city's population is 29% white. The North Texas Cultural Co-op study finds the greatest number of arts patrons live in the Park Cities, Lakewood, North Dallas, and such suburbs as Plano and McKinney. Crunch the numbers at artandseek.org. We've got sunny skies with a high of 82 today, 59 degrees now in Dallas, 61 in Fort Worth. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.